Well, welcome everybody. Welcome to New Life Fellowship. Welcome to those who are online. We're glad to see you as well, or be seen by you, I should say. My name's Dane. I'm the pastor here at New Life Fellowship, and what a great service we're having so far and seeing all of your wonderful faces, masked or unmasked. And we're glad to have you with you. Hey, I want to just share just a couple things before we get into God's Word. This Friday night, we are having a service outside on Friday night, and we invite everybody to that. It's at 7 o'clock, and this will be in place of next Sunday service. And so we will not have Sunday morning service next Sunday. We're having it Friday night. And so if you come and here on Sunday morning, you're like, where is everybody? Did the rapture happen? And no, we just had it on Friday night. Maybe the rapture happened. Maybe we'll give a chance for the altar call today for that. So, and then starting September 16th, which is a Wednesday night, we're beginning our life groups. Man, now more than ever, we need one another. There's a passage in I believe it's in Genesis where. It says that God saw Hagar, God saw her, and we need to be seen. Not on a screen sometimes, but we need to be seen physically. And communication and connection with one another. And so life groups are so important to be connected, to be seen, to have fellowship with one another. And so we encourage you to sign up for that. The group we're doing is called Love Does by Bob Goff. How many have heard of Bob Goff? This side has not. That's kind of weird. But he's a great communicator. It's a great series about love does, of love in action, the Christ's love in us, action towards others. And so we encourage you to be a part of that. And then kids, where are all of our kids? Kids, wave your hands. If you're under 12, raise your hand. We're glad you're here. And guess what? Yeah, let's give our kids a hand. Guess what? Starting September 13th, we are having kids' church again and preschool again. So we're excited about that. That way, you don't have to listen to that crazy bald man with a weird mustache. You guys can go to kids' church, and so we're excited about that. Hey, open your Bibles to Psalm 86. Psalm 86. We are wrapping up our summer series. If you have been part of our new life during the summer, we are going through the Book of Psalms. It's called Power of One. One day, each day, we read one chapter, and out of that one chapter, we look for one verse that we can have an impact on our lives. And then on Sundays, we've been looking at some of the Psalms that we've been reading. Tomorrow, we'll actually finish up this with Psalm 86. So I'm jumping ahead and wrapping us up with Psalm 86. Then we're going to start a new series called the Sermon on the Mount. And I call it Rock Solid, and it's gonna be amazing. If you ever read Matthew 5, 6, and 7, it's a powerful. I was going back and forth on the sermon title, either Rock Solid or The Best Sermon Ever, and it's really the best sermon ever. And so we're gonna hit every single subject you can possibly imagine in the Sermon on the Mount, and so we're gonna do that. But hey, Psalm 86, if you can, could you stand for the reading of God's Word? It says this, "Incline your ear, O Lord, and answer me. For I'm poor and needy. Preserve my life, for I'm godly. Save your servant who trusts in you. You are my God. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for to you do I cry all the day. Gladden the soul of your servant, for to you, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For you, O Lord, are good and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love to all who call upon you. Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer. Listen to my plea for grace. In the day of my trouble, I call upon you, for you answer me. There is none like you among the gods, O Lord, nor are there any works like yours. All the nations you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name. For you are great, and you do wondrous things. You alone are God. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. I give thanks to you, O Lord my God, with my whole heart, and I will glorify your name forever. For great is your steadfast love towards me. You have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol. O God, insolent men have risen up against me, a band of ruthless men seek my life, and they do not set you before them. But you, O Lord, are God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Turn to me and be gracious to me. Give your strength to your servant and save the son of your maidservant. Show me a sign of your favor that those who hate me may see and be put to shame, because you, Lord, have helped me and comforted me. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank you for your word this morning. God, I pray for your anointing to be upon this word. Give us insight, truth to what you want to say to each one of us. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. Bless this service, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Over the course of my life, and I'm sure over the course of your life, you have prayed prayers, and those prayers have been answered the way that you prayed, and then there are other times you've prayed, and for whatever reason, God did not answer the way that you hoped and desired. I remember one specific prayer that I prayed when I was a kid. We were living in Ogden, Utah, which is, if you're from Utah, you know it's the hood of Utah. We were living in Ogden, and I was just learning how to ski, and I wanted a pair of skis for Christmas, and so I prayed, oh God, you know, I want a pair of skis for Christmas. And so, you know, Christmas time's coming. The presents are starting to congregate. You know, they're congregating underneath the tree all by themselves. And it's kind of hard to you know, not notice if it's a pair of skis, because skis, you know, are big and long and so forth. And so I'm looking, I'm like, there is no skis. And then Christmas morning comes, and I don't see a package that looks like skis. My heart's disappointed. I'm discouraged. I get no skis. And then all the wrapping and everything's done. And sure enough, my parents go out to the garage to come back in, and there's something that looks like skis wrapped in wrapping paper. And my heart jumps and rejoices, and it's skis. And so I was super excited. We had this hill out behind our house. I went out that day, climbed up the hill, skied up and down the hill, and I got skis. And I was like, all right. Skis, you know, and so, but then there's other times when I prayed and, you know, it didn't answer the way I hoped, and I know that that's probably the same with you as well. You're praying for something, and you're asking and you're pleading God, Lord, would you please answer this prayer, and for whatever reason, it's not answering the way that you hoped. God always answers, but maybe it's not in the way that you hoped or desired for him to answer. I know that some of you are aware that I've been battling some pretty severe nerve pain for the last year, and it's still battling that to some degree. And I've been praying, I'm like, God, every day I prayed, Lord, would you please answer this prayer? And for whatever reason, he hasn't healed me all the way yet. But I'm still praying, still believing and asking God for that healing. I remember this prayer where God just answered like this, you know. When my kids were little, Aiden was crying, you know, normal Aiden, right? You know, sorry, Aiden, if you're watching. Aiden, my son, was crying. He was like a year old, and he's just up all, I mean, he's just crying. And Bev and I are taking turns holding him like, oh, you know. And we even tried, you know, put him in the car seat, drive around town. How many parents have ever done that? Yeah. All right, come on, he's got to fall asleep, you know. And he's just crying, and we're just, And it's like 2 a.m, and I just like, oh, God, please help him to stop crying. And instantly, he stopped crying. And I was like, why didn't I think of this like 5 hours ago? You know, why didn't I ask God then? But there, U.S. students, we're talking about students today, I'm sure you're praying for this semester. You're praying for your good grades, maybe. You're praying that you don't get the coronavirus. You're praying that you may meet somebody. That's why you have groups. They're meeting groups, right? I'm going to go to that group. Yeah, I'm going to go to that group. Well, maybe I'll go to all of them just to see where God's leading me to somebody. And so you're praying, and you're praying for whatever God has for you. And if you're not a student, you know, you pray. You pray for health. You pray for your family. You pray for your finances. You pray for a lot of different things. And these are all great prayers. But I think the prayer that we're going to look at today, that we read today, is a prayer that God always answers. And it's a prayer of the motivation of your heart. It's because I believe that God looks at your heart more so than he looks at the request of your mouth, right? That he looks at the intent and desires of your heart, because God loves you. And the prayer that David prays here is a prayer, you hear this from his heart, you hear it from the soul of what he's desiring God to do in his life. And I believe it's a prayer that we'll see different aspects of the prayer today. And it's a prayer that I believe that God always answers. Regardless of your circumstances, regardless of what you're going through, regardless of the surroundings in you, it's this prayer that God always answers. And you're like, well, Dane, tell me that prayer because I want to know. Well, I'm so glad you asked that question. There's four aspects of the prayer that I believe that God always answers, and the desires is. And number one desire, if you're taking note, is a desire for the grace of God. A desire for the grace of God. David is pleading for God's grace. We see it several different times. Verse 3, he says, "Be gracious to me, O Lord, for to you I cry out all the day." Verse 6, "Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer. Listen to my plea for grace." Verse 16, "Turn to me and be gracious to me. Give your strength to your servant and save the son of your maidservant." So you hear three different times of this, of David just saying, man, God, I need your grace. You ever prayed that? God, I need your grace. I need your grace in my life. I need your grace in this situation. I need your grace. Grace is this incredible, it's the incredible goodness of God given to us who are sinners, who do not deserve grace. We don't deserve grace, but God, in his love, expresses and gives us grace. As in my personal devotional time this week, I've been reading through the Psalms, but I'm also reading through the Gospels, and I'm in the Gospel of Luke. It's the story of Jesus is invited to this Pharisee's house for dinner, and the Pharisee invites Jesus in, and they sit down, and I imagine it's not like, you know, peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. I'm thinking it's a banquet. And all of a sudden, it says there's this woman, and it doesn't tell who the name of the woman is. It just says a woman of the city, a sinner. That's how it's described in the Gospel of Luke. She's described a woman of the city, a sinner. And she comes into this house, and I imagine this house is just full of religious people. Imagine this house is full of church people. And she comes into this house, and she goes straight to Jesus, and she kneels at his feet, and she begins to weep at his feet, and she begins to cry at his feet, and she begins to wipe the tears that are dripping from her eyes that are hitting his feet. She begins to wipe it with her own hair, and she begins to anoint his feet with oil. And the Pharisee doesn't say anything, but is thinking it. And Jesus knows his thoughts. So beware, Jesus knows your thoughts right now. And he's thinking, and Jesus says this to him in Luke 7, verse 41 through 48. He says this, "A certain moneylender had two debtors. One owed him 5 denarii, the other 50. And when they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. Now, which of them will love him more?" "Simon," the Pharisee answered, "the one, I suppose, for whom he canceled the larger debt." And he said to him, "You have judged rightly." Then turning towards the woman, he said to Simon, so he's looking at this woman, but he's talking to Simon. And he says, "Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little. And he said to her, your sins are forgiven. So grace is all over this passage. Grace is all over it. And it starts out with that he forgave the debt of both. Right? He forgave the debt of the one who owed him a lot, and he forgave the debt of the one who owed him a little. Grace. Grace. So it doesn't matter where you're at in life, where you feel like, you know, you're pretty a good person, a religious person. Guess what? Grace. God has given you grace. And it doesn't matter if you like, man, I am not, it took everything, every ounce of me to walk into a church building today because I know who I am. Grace. Amen. Grace has been given to both. Grace is given to us. And this woman who's a sinner and Jesus is gracious to her. And not only gracious to her, he is compassionate to her. He's showing this compassion to her. She is at a dinner party of all these religious leaders and compassion poured out from Jesus to her. And she's doing what is probably culturally totally unacceptable. Coming in and touching a rabbi and doing all that she is doing at that moment. Compassion, grace is given to her. And going back to Psalms 86, verse 5, it says this, "For you, O Lord, are good and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love to all who call upon you." That should be a highlight verse, right? "For you, O Lord, are good and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love to all who call upon you." Oh, let me tell you this morning, I don't know where you're at with the Lord. I don't know what your where your walk is with God. But I want you to know this verse right here, that God is good and that he is forgiving and he is abounding in love towards you and he wants to forgive you of your sins. He wants you to walk in right relationship with him. And so today, if you don't know Jesus, today's a day where you could come in and receive this grace. Amen. To receive this grace. Salvation, listen, salvation is not something you earn. You didn't get salvation because I showed up today, check off. You know, salvation is not something you earn. Salvation is this free gift of grace that God has given to you. And listen, Christian, if you're a Christian, listen to this. Salvation is not something you pay back. Grace is not something you pay back. You don't owe God anything. Grace, it's a gift. Salvation is a gift. If you think, well, I got to pay Jesus back, you'll never do it. First, you'll never do it because what? Grace is given to you each and every day. So you got to really pay back every day. You're breathing. That's a gift of God. That's grace. You got up and went to church today. That's a gift of God. That's grace. You work and provide for your family. That's a gift of God. That's grace. You say, well, Pastor Nathan, you don't understand, man. I work hard for my money. I went to school, I got my education, I got my degree, I get up hard and get up early and work hard all throughout the day. I work hard for money. I don't doubt that for a minute. But who gave you the ability to do that? Who gave you the ability to think? Who gave you the ability to wake up? Who gave you the ability to go to work each and every day? Grace, God's grace has been given to you. We can never pay God back. He is God who keeps loving us, keeps giving us grace upon grace each and every day. And David's saying, oh, be gracious to me, oh God. Be gracious to me. Second, he says, I desire to glorify God. Verses 8 through 12, there is none like you among the gods, O Lord. None, nor are there any works like yours. The gods are small g, that's like gods of this earth. Not that there's other gods, but God, like lords and gods of this earth. All, I would say people. All the nations you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name. For you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. I give thanks to you, O Lord my God, with my whole heart, and I will glorify your name forever. So a heart of a person that is transformed by the grace of God is a heart that desires to glorify God. Do you follow? If you've been transformed by the grace of God, your heart then wants to glorify God. And so what does it look like to glorify God in the practical sense? It's a heart that is totally in love with God. It's not a heart that is doing things out of duty. It's a heart that is in love with God. I shared with you a few weeks ago this illustration. If Bev and I's anniversary, if I went and got her flowers, and she laughed at me, when I shared this illustration about me getting her flowers, because when I was in college, I worked in a flower shop, and so I gave her flowers all the time. Since I stopped working in the flower shop, it's been about maybe two times. We've been married 26 years. I'm not very good that way. But if I gave her flowers, she said, "Oh, Dane, thank you for these flowers. I really appreciate it." Well, it's my duty as a husband to give you flowers. That doesn't work. That doesn't work to say it's to serve God and say, "Well, I got to do this because it's my duty to do it. I got to give my tithe because it's my duty. I got to serve in the ministries of this because, well, I got to do it." That's not a heart that is in love with God that desires to glorify God. That's a heart that's just doing it out of duty. And when we look at the story of the Pharisee, really that's what he's doing. He's showing off Jesus, right? "Hey, Jesus, come to my house. I'll make a banquet and I'm going to show you off." He's doing his duty to show off a good rabbi of that day. And so a heart that is in love with God is a heart that glorifies God and magnifies God and says, "God, you deserve all the credit. I'm just in the background here. I'm just back here. You take front stage. I glorify you. You get all the credit. You get all the glory. You get all the honor. You get all the praise. My heart has been broken this past 2 weeks of hearing the news of Jerry Falwell Jr., whose dad was Jerry Falwell, the guy who founded Liberty University, a great evangelical leader back in his day. His son, Jerry Falwell Jr., has been in the news lately. I'm sure some of you have known that, where there was inappropriate pictures of him. There's a scandal concerning his wife and adulterous affairs and different things that are going on. And the Board of Trustees, he's the president of Liberty University, Board of Trustees have asked him to step down from that. And now we don't know all the details because, the news is always right, right? Yeah. They're always accurate. But however, regardless of all the news, we know sin creeped into the camp. And when we don't have a heart that's fully in love with God, sin creeps into the camp, into our hearts, into our lives, and it becomes about us and not about him. And believe me, David's resume is far, his sin resume, I should say, is far greater than Jerry Falwell's sin resume. But he realized, "I need to glorify God. I need to repent and glorify God. I need to have my heart in love with God." When your life is in love with you, you're not glorifying him. Have your heart and life glorifying God. When you receive the grace of God, you glorify the God. I got to hurry here. Got two more points and about 15 more pages. No, just kidding. People are like, the Utah State students are looking for a church. Ah, man, 15 more pages? Where's the other churches in the valley? No. Number three, a desire for the good of others. A heart that is transformed by the grace of God is a heart that glorifies God, becomes a heart that desires the good for others. You following the steps here? A heart that is gracious, wants God's grace, has been transformed by the grace of God, desires to glorify God, now is a heart that wants to do good for others. David writes in verse 9, "All the nations you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name." So David desires that all nations come and glorify God, that they come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. This is missions. And this is why we believe missions is so important in our church today, why we invest in missionaries, why we send out missionaries, why we go on missions trips, why we do this, because we know that the gospel of Jesus Christ can transform hearts and transform the world. I totally believe that. Because you look at our world today, if you look at the society today, you see a lot of hate, you see a lot of anger, you see a lot of disruption in this society today. And there's a lot of different people who come up with a lot of different answers for of solving the problem. You can solve the problem by burning down the city. You can solve the problem by reducing police or adding more police. You can solve the problem by electing one person or keeping one person. You can solve the problem by changing this policy or changing that policy. The problem with all of those things, it doesn't change a person's heart. The only thing that can change the person's heart is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the only thing that can change a person's heart. And so if we want to see a change in our society, in our culture today, we, the Christians, believers in Jesus Christ, should desire the good for people, and the good for people is Jesus Christ. Is that we got to take the gospel and share the gospel in love to people all around the world. And it starts with your neighbor. Love your neighbor as yourself. Gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ is the only thing that's going to make a difference in the world today. You know, Jesus was having this discussion with his disciples, and it was just the 12 of them, and he's sitting there, and he's talking to them, and he says, "Hey, guys," this is Dane Weed paraphrase, he goes, "Hey, guys, what are people saying about me? Who do they say that I am?" And they say, "Oh, Jesus, you know, some say that you're Elijah, some say you're a prophet, some say this, some say that." He goes, "All right, guys, what about you? Who do you say that I am?" And Peter says, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." And that is probably one of the most important questions you need to answer. Who do you say Jesus is? Who is he? Is he the Christ, the Son of the living God? Or is he a prophet, a good teacher, a good guy, whatever? If he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, then your heart's been transformed by grace. You desire to love and give him glory, and you want to do good for others. And there's another question that comes about this. Later on, so Jesus is talking to his disciples. Now Jesus has been arrested. He's now in front of Pilate. He's been questioned by Pilate, and he's been scourged, you know, whipped, all those things. And Pilate does not want to crucify Jesus. He wants to let him go. But he doesn't know how to do it. So he thinks, "Hey, I got an out." The out is this: during this time of year, I can release one prisoner. And hopefully the crowd will come to their be right in their mind. An angry mob right in their mind. But he says, I'll present this idea to Jesus. Hey, crowd, I can release one guy. And they said, "Give us Barabbas." And Barabbas was this ruthless rioter, a criminal, just in prison, justifiable. I mean, he deserved to be in prison. And they said, "Give us Barabbas." And then Pilate asked an important question: "What do you want me to do with Jesus? What should I do with Jesus?" And I think that's an important question for those who have answered the first question: who do you say Jesus is? If he is the Son of the living God, what are you going to do with that? What are you going to do with Jesus? If he truly is the Christ, what are you going to do with him? And it's not just a temporal change. I talk about changing hearts. It's not just a temporal change. It's an eternal change in people's lives. Eternal lives matter. people are dying and going to hell because they don't know Jesus, and the Christians are quiet about it. We're silent about it. What are you going to do with Jesus? Oh, the good that we can give to the world today is the good of the gospel. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We have the answer. Give them Jesus. And then the fourth one is this, a desire for godliness. Verse 11, this is where he wraps it up. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. He desires the grace of God. A life that is transformed by the grace of God is a life that is desires to glorify God. It's a life that desires for the good of others, and it's a life that desires to for godliness, to live in godliness. And I love what he prays here. He prays, Lord, teach me your way. Do we pray like that? Lord, teach me your way. Lord, teach me that I may walk in your truth. Do we pray that? Do we pray this? Lord, teach me so that I may walk in your truth, so that my heart may be united with yours, in order that I may fear and honor you. That's a prayer of godliness. I want to know him more. I want to know Jesus more. God, teach me your ways. Teach me your heart. Let my heart be in tune with your heart. I talked earlier that we can have wrong motives. We can have wrong motives that lead us to give one way, to serve one way. You know, a wrong motive to serve is a motive of pride. A wrong motive to give is one of guilt. I'm going to give out of guilt or whatever. There's wrong motives in our heart, but a heart that has been transformed by the grace of God desires to give glory to God, desires to have the goodness of God in the lives of others, and it's a desire of a heart that has a right motive and heart. It says, teach me your ways, O God. The question I have for you today is, do you know him? Do you know Jesus? Have you surrendered your life, your heart to Jesus Christ? Whether you're a student starting out this year, do you know Jesus? If you've been here at New Life Fellowship for a while, do you know Jesus? Do we know him? Do we desire his grace that will transform our lives, the grace of salvation? Today I want to give you an opportunity just to pray and receive that grace in your heart, to receive Jesus Christ in your life. Again, it's not something you earn. It's not something you pay back. It's a free gift that will transform your life forever. So would you bow your heads in prayer, please? Father, we thank you so much for sending your Son into this world. Emmanuel, God with us. And we thank you that he lived this life perfectly. And then he went to the cross for our sins. And he gave us his righteousness. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for us, for that love, that grace. And today, I ask that you forgive me of my sins, that you come into my life, that you transform my life. Create in me a new heart, renew a right spirit within me. Thank you for doing that, Lord. I receive you by faith today. I receive your salvation today. Thank you for grace, and may my life now be a life that is glorifying to you, totally in love with you. May my life be desiring the good of others and the best of others, and what that is that they receive you. And Lord, teach me your ways so that my heart may know you more. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you have given your life to Jesus or want to walk more closely with him, we have a powerful resource for you. It's called Journey. And you can text the word Journey to 74574 on your phone right now. You could text that and you'll get a 30-day discipleship plan that you can be downloaded to your phone or tablet, and it'll help you in your walk with God. If you don't have a Bible, we have Bibles here somewhere. if you want a really good Bible with all the highlights, we have some in the Lost and Found. You can grab one of those. Oh, don't do that. That's right. Somebody took somebody's phone. But we want to encourage you in your walk with God. Would you please stand with me? We close out our time together asking questions, whether you're online or here. Take a picture of these questions. These are things that you could take home so you can apply them to your life. Talk about them with your family. Question number one is this: in what ways has your life been impacted by the grace of God? Good question. Talk to your kids about that. Tell your kids about your personal journey with God. Question number two: what's wrong with living your life in order to pay God back for his grace? Question number three: who is one person that you can share the gospel with this week? Who's the one person you can share the gospel with this week? And question number four: will you pray every day this week this prayer? Teach me your way that I may walk in your truth. God bless you. Have a great week, everyone.